What's going on, everybody? Welcome in. We are back. Wade Zanketa, Connor O'Neill with the Thursday episode of All Canadian. We're doing some more draft recap here. We did the East on Tuesday, bringing you the West now on Thursday. Before we do that, just want to take a second to remind you that Sawdust City Brewing Company offers brewery fresh beer delivered directly to your door. Visit their website at sawdustcitybeer.com to shop their wide variety of brews and to learn more. This May, CFP listeners are getting an exclusive promo code. Use code CFP during checkout to receive free shipping on all orders over $100. Shipping is available to Ontario residents only. Must be legal drinking age. Anything cracked today? Anything? What do you got going on?
No, we're recording in the morning, Connor. I am not cracking a beer before noon on a Wednesday here.
Oh, I just had to ask.
No, absolutely. Like, it's fine. They were going to ask, but I'm not doing that. But I am going to remind our listeners of our new sponsor. That is Area 51 Sports Apparel. They are the newest player in the Canadian team sports uniform and equipment industry, locally and minority owned. Area 51 Sports' goal is to provide high-quality uniforms, apparel, and equipment at affordable prices. Area 51 Sports offers uniforms and equipments for all sports at remarkable prices. Check them out on Instagram at Area 51 Sport or reach out to them via email at area51sportsapparel@gmail.com. Short episode today. We're just kind of going through, cleaning up the last bit of the draft stuff before we can move into some more off-season and get ready for the CFL and U Sports seasons. So there's not much news and notes left over other than there will be no Edmonton Elk announcement. Connor, what is going on?
No announcement coming from a team name yet from the Edmonton football organization. That's unfortunate to see. We need it. We need it. Give us the Elk. We need to see something kind of positive. We need something fun. I think this is a perfect opportunity to do it. We're going into a new season, a lot of uncertainty. Everybody knows it. Everybody wants it. Hammer it down. Make it the Elk. Give it to us. Let's go. I'm disappointed. I need to see it. Need to see some antlers on helmets.
Connor's weekly Elk rant is brought to you by our friends at Bet99. See, All Canadian is brought to you in part by Bet99. If you want to gamble on the Edmonton Elks Grey Cup odds, you can. Go ahead and sign up over at Bet99 with the code CFP for 100% of your initial match, guaranteed up to $600. Every game starts at Bet99, and we are responsible gambling.
So, Western teams, we're going to be breaking down their drafts. Initial impressions of the Western team's draft?
Good. It's all good. I very much enjoyed the team's strategies here. Some teams just kind of took big swings and then backed it up. Some teams just kind of stayed even par with some futures, but also backing up with great talent. And then some teams, like the defending Grey Cup champions, just kind of kept hammering home big names. So the West definitely got stronger. It's going to be exciting to see that kind of come through. But wow, what a great look for them.
We will get there. But Winnipeg did not need to go out and have the draft that they did. My gosh.
Yeah, it was definitely something to be seen. Definitely a scary sight to be a Winnipeg fan. You do not want them to be getting any better. If you're a Winnipeg fan, it's great. But other fans, you're kind of shaking in your boots.
Yeah, you see these teams drafting like this, and you're going, oh, no. Winnipeg is building, and they're building for the future. We're going to go, though, kind of in terms of grades. There's no bad grades in this Western Conference, but we're going to go from the lowest grade up, starting with the Calgary Stampeders.
Absolutely. And Calgary, this is no knock on the Stampeders for their draft grade. We're going to go through it here. Eamon Ogbonk-Bumiga, Bryce Bell, a center from Laurier, Charlie Moore, Elliot Graham, two good linebackers from Can West, Chuba Hubbard, a future pick, and then Luther Hakunavanu from York, big, tall receiver for them. It's a B because it's everything is level. Everything is even keel. You're going to take a future with Eamon. You're going to take a future with Chuba Hubbard. You hope those play out. You're going to take some very safe, high-quality special teamers at the least in Elliot Graham and Charlie Moore who are going to come out and perform for you. Luther Kunivanu, a tall, big-bodied receiver who can get downfield, can develop for you as well. So you're not taking any splashy names that are going to be impact right away, like a Nelson Lacumbo, which we'll get to eventually today. But you're just taking solid picks who are going to come in, work their butts off, and make the roster for you guys.
Yeah, I like their draft overall. And like you said, I mean, it was solid across the board. Nothing really wowed you. Eamon Ogbonmiga in the first round at 8. I kind of raised my eyebrows a little bit. Talent that he is, and he is a damn good one. But I think taking him at 8 might have been a little bit high. Though we did see some of these guys, some of these kind of future guys come off the board a little bit earlier this year compared to the 2020 draft. But still, I get the play for Eamon Ogbonmiga, and you know what? If he comes back, you're getting an impact player right away. Bryce Bell, we heard, you know, making the move to center. I think there's value there in that. Plus, he's 6'4", 275. So, Wilfrid Laurier, Golden Hawks seem to translate to the league very well. I think Bryce Bell, you know, get him in the right situation, develop him. He's going to be fine. Charlie Morelli, Graham, two good players, two good linebackers. You know, Chuba Hubbard, if he comes back again, home run on that type of guy. And then Luther Hakunavana out of York, 6'4" wide receiver. You're just hoping that he's going to translate and be able to do something. They have another certain York player there right now that has, you know, been able to develop well. Colton Hunchak, maybe?
Absolutely. They do have some good history getting these guys. But with that, they do have some futures, like you said, in Chuba Hubbard, that we don't know if he's going to come back. He was obviously a mid-round pick in the NFL draft. Eamon Ogbonmiga is an undrafted free agent, so there's more of a chance he comes back as well. But with his athleticism, the Chargers may go, hey, you know what? Behind Kenneth Murray, we need some young guys who are going to be able to contribute on specials and slot in with similar athleticism. So he might stick. You just never know with those guys. And I think that's why you hit it on the head saying 8 may have been a bit too high just because of the situation.
Talk about the Chargers, though, and the collection of Canadians they're building up. Josh Palmer, Trevon Campbell, Covington now. Christian Covington signs there. Eamon Ogbonmiga. Slew guys. Slew Canadians down there in L.A.
Absolutely. It's definitely nice to see them going down to the NFL, but come on a bit closer to the border. No, I'm just kidding. The Chargers are a great organization down there, so I'm glad that these guys are going to a place that's not so chaotic as for like a Cincinnati where Christian Covington was.
And I guess geographically, the Edmonton Elk are up next here.
Yeah, and absolutely.
A solid draft from these guys. I personally really liked Edmonton's draft. That's not bias. I'm not trying to get an elk plug in here again, but I thought it was a solid draft. They started off the draft with the 5th overall pick, Cole Nelson, the defensive lineman from Alberta. Then in the second round, they get Grant McDonald, the linebacker from the defending Vanier Cup champions. You get Deontay Glover, the Shepherd running back. Dominic Johnson, the 6'5" Buffalo quarterback, wide receiver slash basketball player, two-sport athlete. Some intrigue there. The big 6'5" offensive lineman, Peter Cordes from St. Mary's, and Keenan Clark, the defensive back from Cornell. So there's a lot to like here in this draft. What do you make of the Edmonton? What do you make of Edmonton's draft here?
I honestly like the draft. You mentioned some good names early on, but the one that I'm intrigued by is Deontay Glover, the running back out of Shepherd. It's the kind of guy that amassed a lot of yardage in his year down south, or in his last season down south. And he's a great pass catcher as well. And when you have Trevor Harris as your quarterback, I know people want to talk about, oh, check down Charlie's and everything, but it's a great way to gain easy yardage in the CFL. And with a running back as electric as Deontay Glover, that's a simple dump off that can get you 5, 6, 7 yards. And you're looking in plus yardage for your second down play, or if you need to convert on a second down, it's someone that could possibly sneak out and go uncovered.
Well, in the CFL too, to add to that point on receptions in the CFL too, how often do you see a late motion to an empty backfield? And having a running back that can go play that third slot or the fourth slot that can be reliable and catch the ball is invaluable. So Deontay Glover in the third round, again, maybe it's a little bit high for a running back, but you just got a very good playmaker. This dude had over 2,000 yards in one season at Shepherd.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you can't really scoff at just because it's D2. Like, we're looking at guys like Liam Dobson, who's played, and Deshaun Stevens, who have played a lot of their careers in D2, going in the first round. So no means is that a knock that you can put towards him. But another player for Edmonton, though, Grant McDonald. God, I know he just fell through to the middle of the second round here, but not by the fault of his own. I mean, the three linebackers taken ahead of him were just such freaks. But there he is sitting there. Edmonton kind of scoops him up, and they get a huge value on a guy who's brings athleticism left, right, and center to the party and also has great size. I mean, 6'3", 220. That's a big body to move around the speed he does, and he brings a lot of strength with that as well.
You mentioned speed. How about a 4.59 40? That dude can fly. So Grant McDonald, great playmaker. We talked about this guy all season, or maybe we talked about this guy a lot leading into the draft season, and then we kind of backed off on the Grant McDonald gas because his name spoke for himself. He's such a good playmaker. We knew he was going to go high. We kind of harped on him enough. But Grant McDonald was a good pickup there. And then Cole Nelson, the surprise pick in the first round. However, we got turned on to this guy kind of, you know, back end of the draft process. And all of a sudden, Cole Nelson's going fifth overall, 6'6", 295-pound defensive tackle. He's just a mover of bodies. He gets offensive linemen out of the way. He frees up space for guys like Grant McDonald, who can fly in there and make a play. Or those guys on the outside. Don't forget, the Edmonton Elk have Matthew Betts and Kwaku Boateng playing the outside. So Cole Nelson, could he slot in there? Absolutely. And when he does, it's a matter of when, not if, he is going to make a difference.
Yeah, I agree with Cole Nelson. You're getting such a big athletic body where you can really play 5-tech through to 1-tech if you need to. The 6'6 frame is just so interesting because when you play with that size on the interior, chances are sometimes you get caught up underneath you. But with his athletic ability, you don't see him get caught underneath very often. He's the kind of guy that can keep his weight low and really move piles that way. It's so interesting to watch him go.
In the back half of their draft, they go with guys like Dominic Johnson, Peter Cordis, Keenan Clark. So how do you think they fared in the back half? Does a guy like Dominic Johnson, the 6'5", 2 sport athlete, stand out to you? Or is it a guy like Peter Cordis, the 6'5", offensive lineman from St. Mary's?
I like the 6'5", offensive lineman because if you trust your coaching staff, that size, 6'5", 298, and he's young. He's only born in 1998. Like, that's a lot to mold. You can send him back for a year, let him grow with the Huskies, and then all of a sudden he comes out and you get your coaching staff to have your hands on him for a couple of years, and maybe he turns into a great player for you that you've then picked up at the fifth round.
Yeah, we'll see. Peter Cordis, man, big, good stance. Pretty athletic for that size too. So I think that's a really good value pick at pick 41. Do with a guy like Dominic Johnson, 6'5", can he translate? I mean, what do we make of this pick? Dominic Johnson going fourth round, 32nd overall pick. Do you think they could have sat and got him later, or do you think, you know, they just see a wide receiver that's 6'5", 225, and they're like, hey, maybe we can do something with him. If not, then so be it.
I think the athleticism prompted them to jump and grab him here. Just being a two-sport athlete, 6'5", you're going to be interesting because if you step on the field, you can outjump most guys. You're probably going to be able to run with a lot of them as well. So, I don't know. For me, the athleticism is just a big question mark. I don't know how the on-field play translates, but if anything, you got a freak athlete who you can catch a ball and have as a returner or use him on specials.
So with six picks, Cole Nelson, Grant McDonald, Deontay Glover, Dominic Johnson, Peter Cordis, Keenan Clark, what are we grading out the Edmonton Elk here?
B+.
Agreed. Agreed. A solid draft. They picked up some good talent, especially in those early rounds. Guys like Cole Nelson, Grant McDonald, Deontay Glover, I think we're going to see in Edmonton Elk jerseys sooner rather than later. B+, love that draft.
And sticking with the B+, I'm going to give it away early. Saskatchewan Rough Riders. They started off Nelson Lacumbo at number 2 overall. Then they went Terrell Jan at 17, Bruno Lobel at 20, Elaine Simonkinda at 35, Logan Bandy at 38. And then they rounded it out with Matt Watson, a DB from Mount A. They started off real strong. It's kind of like Ottawa yesterday where your first couple picks, you're like, wow, oh my. And then they didn't fall as hard as Ottawa in the back half of the draft, but they just kind of, like, they go Terrell Janna, and then they go Bruno Labelle, and you're like, wow, oh my God, like, three instant starters for these guys. And then you kind of go with Elaine, who has some size that you might like to see a bit change. Logan Bandy, who did not test anywhere close to what people thought he was going to from his tape. And from talking around, like, the play strength wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. I mean, playing beside guys like Tyler Packer and Peter Nicastro, like, everyone looks strong. So he kind of slid to 38 there. And then Matt Watson to finish it out from Mount A, who's just kind of a speedy 5'11 DB, kind of plays safety or corner if they need to, but mainly for specials. I don't know. For me, the top three picks are just so strong here for Saskatchewan that you got everything you need. You got a DB who can play multiple positions if you need him to play corner. Terrell Jan is going to be a great guy to build up along Shaq Evans, and then Bruno Labelle, which we talked about yesterday, I was my favorite pick of the draft because there's just so much this guy can do in an offense.
So who's your favorite, Jan, Lacumbo, Labelle? I know you said you liked Labelle on the Tuesday show. Are you riding with that?
Yeah, I'm riding with Labelle. It's my favorite pick of the draft. I can't change anything about it.
I do like this Saskatchewan Rough Riders draft. I mean, Nelson Lacumbo, we talked about it on Tuesday. We said we thought that he was their guy all along. You know, he's been in their backyard for years. He's been developed by one of the best head coaches in U Sports with Scott Flory's program. And he's a defensive player of the year in U Sports. Doing so as a halfback, this guy's just an incredible athlete. I like the pick here at 2nd overall for Nelson Lacumbo. Maybe it's a little bit high. Maybe you think this dude's a little bit other than... Maybe you think this dude is a little bit undersized. Just go watch his tape and watch him play. You'll be convinced. No question. A guy like Terrell Jana, I think, you know, my favorite spot for Terrell Jana would be in the slot. Yeah. I'd love to see him go run around in the slot.
We've talked a bunch about how his release is so strong down at UVA. It's something you can kind of translate and bring up to the stem here from the slot, and I think that's a great way to open up your career for him.
Bruno Labelle, I don't think we need to talk much more about him. He's going to be a dog. Elaine Simonkinda is one that you understand the pick. You know, good player, very good player. His numbers
and on-field numbers.
His numbers definitely show that. His tape shows that. But for me, it's a question of where is this guy going to fit? You know, a 6'1", 245-pound defensive lineman. Is he a little bit undersized to play the edge? Maybe. Is he a little bit too big to now go play linebacker? Maybe. So, for me, it's a matter of how Saskatchewan is going to use him. You know, I think that he's in a program to be in a position of success. I guess it remains to be seen. We'll see what kind of question marks pop up or kind of where they fit him in at training camp when we finally do get there. Logan Bandy in the 5th round, he fell hard. We did not expect this. We kind of got, again, turned on late in the draft saying, you know, maybe Logan Bandy needs another look. And we looked, he fell 6'5", 285, though, in the 5th round, especially coming off of any Cup championship roster. Tough to not draft that guy in the 5th round. And if he develops, hey, could be an All-Canadian.
Yeah, well, fifth round, I'm very, very comfortable getting him because you know you're going to get some form of a good player. Maybe the evaluation of him being at the top end was a bit too much. But 5th round, you're going to get great. You are going to get great value for that. So moving on now, we're going to the far west, the BC Lions, who had a great draft for covering their own asses, I want to say, or covering themselves in the sense that they take a futures pick right off the bat. They take Alaric Jackson, and then all of a sudden they double down with Ben Hladik. But then they come right back and go Al Green to cover themselves in the first round and Tyler Packer to cover themselves on the Alaric Jackson. So you take two huge swings at the top. You get a very solid player in Ben Hladik, and then you cover yourselves with great guys like Alfred Green and Tyler Packer down towards the end. So for me, I've got no complaints about this draft. If the future picks hit, they're going to be fantastic. If not, you didn't lose that much because you have great guys covering yourselves on the back end.
Daniel Joseph is the guy that we had going number one in our final mock. So to sit there and get him at four, love that pick right away. Especially, you know, it's never, we talk about this all the time, it's never bad thing to stock up on line help in the CFL draft, especially a guy like Daniel Reek. And, you know, he's signed to an NFL camp, so remains to be seen what's going to happen with him, whether he sticks as a guy, whether he stays on as a practice squad guy, comes back to Canada and gets into a camp. But 6'6", 320, four-year starter at Iowa, warranted there in the second round. Ben Hladik, love this pick at 22 in the third round. Another guy that we thought was going to be a first-round guy, linebacker from UBC, 6'4", 235, freak of nature, tested off the charts. I think we've talked about Ben Hladik enough. People know who this guy is by now. Al Green, huge defensive lineman, 6'3", 235, coming out of Laurier. We've seen this story time and time again. Laurier, Golden Hawks get to the league and stay in the league. And then Tyler Packer, again, to circle back on what Wade said, covering up for that Alaric Jackson pick, should he not return, getting a guy at similar size, 6'6", 315 for Tyler Packer. So pretty comparable to Alaric Jackson.
Road grader. I like Tyler Packer a lot. This guy, he bullies people in the middle. Like, that's if that's what you're coming into the league with and you're a strong physical guy who's just going to get down and push piles for you, I'd take that in a heartbeat. Because that's someone you can develop for the pass work a bit more. You can even send him back to school, but you know he's going to be running Pat Sheen's system. They're going to be pushing people around left, right, and center. I like BC's pick here, but it's time to move on. The champs are the champs are the champs until the champs are taken off of the throne. Winnipeg Blue Bombers, the highest draft grade we give goes to the defending Grey Cup champions. An A, a solid A. We're going to start it off. Liam Dobson, the big mauler. It's Tyler Packer, but the best version of Tyler Packer in this draft. Same kind of player who has not been playing offensive line that long. So he's got lots of room to grow. Then you get Retta Crandy, who is a freaky linebacker, switched to DB, still ran extremely fast. He gets to the ball all over the place. Patrice Rene in the third round is a future. That's a heck of a pick if he does end up coming back. If not, you have great DBs like Shea Weeks, who you draft in the sixth round. Kyle Borsa, fifth round. Robbie Lowe's in the fourth round, who two great special teams guys as well to round out the draft class for the Blue Bombers. Every guy on this list, though, it's just yes, yes, hit, hit, hit. They get tremendous value in each round, too. They aren't reaching up for guys and taking someone way above where they need to. You get a great guy at the start of the draft here in Liam Dobson for Winnipeg, who could be future. But if he comes back, you got an instant starter. You go with Retta Crandy, who will make your roster day one and contribute in some aspect on special teams. Patrice Rene, another future. But if he doesn't do so hot at Rutgers, maybe he comes back up, and now you have a shutdown corner that you can throw in as a national player. That's a huge benefit. Robbie Lowe's is an athletic monster who can crush some special teams for you, alongside guys like Theodric Hansen and Les Maruo, your two globals. Then you go Kyle Borsa, who's the speedy running back from Regina that blew everyone out of the water. I don't know about you, Connor, but with Kyle Borsa, I mean, Andrew Harris is getting up there in age. I know he doesn't show it, but at some point, they may want to move towards another national running back. And Kyle Borsa was a workhorse in his last season at Regina. Again, that was 2018. He had to sit out 2019 from a tainted substance. But the only tainted aspect of his resume is that one test. The tape is clean. The testing matched up with it. His pro day was great, catching the ball as well. Going to work down to Shea Weeks, who we couldn't be more ecstatic about. I mean, this is the kind of guy that covers sideline to sideline. He brings an A-plus aspect to your team with his return abilities. So at worst, you get your team's starting kick and punt returner in round six, and he has the chance to house any ball that he touches.
A Tunde Adeleke in the West, if you will?
It might be. It might very well be. He brings a similar speed to it. I know Tunde's kind of next level with the way he just sits in a hip pocket and waits for someone to throw before going, oh, right, I am faster than you. Hold on a second. But Shea Weeks kind of just, he just seems to be anywhere you want to throw the ball, he somehow finds a way to get there. I was surprised his teammate RJ Shelley did not go in the draft as well. I would expect him to get into a camp somewhere. But for Shea Weeks to come in sixth round here, that's a big pickup for them.
So who's your favorite pick for the Winnipeg Blue Bombers here in this draft? They had a lot of damn good ones, but what's your absolute favorite? Is it Borsat at five?
No, I think it's got to be Shea Weeks. You get, like I said, you get a top-end returner who can also play DB for you in some aspect at 48. Like, you're getting a top-end athlete to go along with the Hallets, who you already have there that are freaky athletes, plus Reddick Cramby, who's a freak athlete. Patricio Ney, if he comes back, there you go. So you have a whole set now of national defensive backs that bring tremendous athletic ability, whether it's strength, whether it's speed, whether it's a combination of both. You're getting top-end players from your own backyard in the national U sports system outside of Patricio Ney. I know he's down the NCAA, but a lot of this is built locally.
I was just trying to set myself up to talk about Reddick Cramby.
I was leaving it for you. Don't worry.
No, I'm joking. That's it. No, I love the Shea Weeks pick, especially where you got him. You know, late round value here for Winnipeg is just off the charts. Kyle Borsa, Shea Weeks, Robbie Lowe's, but Shea Weeks, even more so, getting that guy in the sixth round. You got one of the best DBs in the draft in the last round. So that was incredible. But I do want to circle back and talk about Reddick Cramby, because you said it. This guy is going to be a day one impact player, whether it's, you know, on the field somewhere, but certainly with the special teams value he brings, a 6 foot 190 DB that can just move all over the field. This guy played linebacker in Montreal. Let's not forget that. So he's a Mechoja guy. I'm sure if Winnipeg didn't take him here in the second round, Mechoja was licking his chops there sitting at 27. So Reddick Cramby is going to be one of these types of players that just comes in, works his way on special teams, works his butt off, and then a few years, you're like, oh, he's starting now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's something that teams are going to be having to worry about for quite some time. Like, Nick Hallett's still there as well, a couple years ago, drafted his brother Noah from last year. Those are guys that do not sleep outside the gym. Like, they eat, sleep, and breathe football, and they've been grinding for 2 years now, waiting for the chance to play in that golden helmet again. And now they get stacked up with more DB talent. It's only going to be a scary sight for offenses.
So Winnipeg gets the A on the draft grade for blowing the draft out of the water, even though they didn't need to. Run it back. They get Liam Dobson, Reddick Cramby, Patrice Rene, Robbie Lowe's, Kyle Borsa, Shea Weeks. Absolutely knocked their draft out of the park. Not that they needed to.
No, they did not need to at all. That's the worst part. Like, we mentioned all the young Canadian DBs that they've drafted. Don't forget, they have a Grey Cup roster full of guys that aren't those Canadian DBs. Like, these guys are just add-ons to an already fantastic build.
So we give Winnipeg an A here. Is there anything they didn't do that you would have liked to see them do? Like, any draft picks? Could they have drafted a wide receiver? Or are you pretty happy with this draft?
I mean, judging by the way the receivers went in this draft, I don't think there was anyone that they could have really jumped up to take in. Just kind of sit and be patient. Next year, we can get a guy like Nolan Lovegrove coming out. The Philpotts are going to be close to draft eligible now. So for me, it's just like, don't worry about pushing it. You clearly had good enough receivers to win a Grey Cup. So run it back. If it's not broken, don't fix it. Next year, you can start to add some depth in behind it as well.
So that is going to do it for our show. Winnipeg rounds it out with an A, just a stellar draft for them. Before we do go, I want to take a quick second to say the Canadian Football Perspective Podcast Network is brought to you by our friends at Fox 40, the worldwide leaders in whistle technology, helping you return to play with things such as the electronic whistle, the whistle gator, the tri-layer whistle mask. So head to fox40shop.com for all your return to play whistle needs and enter the code CFP15 at checkout for 15% off all of your return to play whistle needs. Again, that is CFP15 at checkout at fox40shop.com.
And as always, this May, listeners are getting an exclusive promo code from our friends at Sawdust City Brewing Company, who offer brewery fresh beer delivered directly to your door. Visit their website at sawdustcitybeer.com to shop their wide variety of brews and to learn more. Use the code CFP during checkout to receive free shipping on all orders over $100. Shipping is available to Ontario residents only. Must be of legal drinking age.
Nothing cracked because we're doing this in the morning, but our show is tapped. That is it. The West and East are done. We still have some undrafted free agents to get to. We're going to talk about some of the guys that have yet to be signed that we still like, that can see some camp looks.
And as always, you can find us at Connor R. O'Neill, at Wade Zhang 27, at CF Perspective. Until next week, enjoy Marsh and Mellow tomorrow on Friday. House parties are coming back. Take care, everyone.
We'll catch you next week.